This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
It certainly is at 9:06 on a Saturday morning, long weekend. Excuse me, I just dropped my phone. No problem. Sun was out for a while there. Look, right now it's clouding over again, but we do have sunshine in the forecast for today. And we have Walter Assey from Inofco in the studio. How are you?
Good morning.
This guy comes in, and he looks like he's just walked out of a catalog. And I'm here in my sweatpants, and I've got coffee stains on my shirt.
It's sweatpants because you like to jog every time I come here. We're both jogging up the stairs.
That's right. I run downstairs to let him in, and then I ran upstairs.
I finally have my passes now, so you're going to be okay.
All right.
You don't have to wear your sweatpants anymore.
Well, there's my exercise, though. All right. Ready to get to work?
Absolutely.
All right. By the way, you were telling me that you felt the strong winds last night as well, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it was, I think, gusting up to 80 kilometers per hour.
Yeah, very strong.
And we had a transformer that blew up right in front of the house, which caused fire to a tree. So it was a bit of excitement.
Yeah, no kidding.
No electricity for a while, but that's fine.
Yeah, eventually came back on?
It eventually came back on, when we were ready to go to bed. So,
let's go to Michelle, who's on the phone from Brossard, if I'm not mistaken. Hi, Michelle.
Good morning.
And you want to talk to Walter about an issue with your roof, I think, right?
Yes.
All right.
Please.
Okay, go ahead.
Good morning, Walter. So we just had our roof, which is a very significant bit of home renovation, done this week. We have a double garage over which we have a sort of a slanted roof portion where they put the bardeaux. And between that slanted portion and the brick, there is a flashing that they had to replace. But they seem to have come back and put little pieces, so it's jointed. And I'm wondering if it shouldn't have been one piece. And is that a significant issue?
Usually those pieces have to be overlapped. So it's a question of cosmetics more than anything. It's very seldom that you will have joints and a flashing because roofs are longer than the flashings, obviously. So sometimes you have a roof that is 40 feet long, so you can have a flashing that is one piece. So typically what they do is they overlap them in order to avoid any issues, and then they do a bit of caulking in between. Having said that, there is the issue of the cosmetic look, which is important as well. So if you look at it and it looks like it's a piecemeal thing, then obviously it's not the way you want it to look, and you will call them back and they would have to replace it.
Okay.
Unfortunately, what happens with roofers is, believe it or not, sometimes they have pieces left over and they just try to pass them through. And that's why, it doesn't make sense because, to be quite frank with you, to put small pieces is more work than to put one long piece for them. Except that they don't, they're just a bit lazy. They want to get something else. They want to pass the old pieces, and that's what happens. And that's fairly common, unfortunately. So that's why I'm going to give you a couple of tricks, for everybody, really. Roofing is one of the least inspected jobs after a contractor because, who want to go up to a roof and walk around and, risk breaking their back? So there are roof inspectors that you could hire independently to inspect the guy's work. And what usually they do is they come before to see how the roof looks like. They come the day of the demolition, so they make sure that everything was demolished and clean. They come in the middle, and then they come at the end. And if there's anything that needs to be corrected, well, there's all these three different occasions where they will tell the roofer that the job is being, this is what I want you to correct. Having said that, the roofer, knowing that he's being inspected, tend to, walk a very straight line and avoid making those, cutting corners left and right.
Okay, so that will be in the next time we do our roof, I guess, in 15 or 20 years. But for this time, if I see that we're obviously going to let go the fact that they've patched it up, there's no caulking at all, either on the joints or between the flashing and the bardeaux. Is that something that should be done,
well,
in your opinion?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, caulking is not the last line of defense. I mean, I'm against caulking as a way to stop water from coming in because that's not really, what it's used for. So My advice to you, because you seem to have multiple concerns about this, I would like you to have it in writing. So send an email to the roofer and say, look, there are these things that I'm actually worried about. There are, you know, small little pieces. Cosmetically, it's not right. So can you please come and check it out? And that will kind of protect you for guarantee purposes, and you'll have something in writing. But let's just understand that, I mean, I've had a case, I just remember, about a roofing issue at a client's house that called in. And they had hired this big engineering firm, which came up with this report that says the reason that the roof was leaking in certain areas, including the skylights, was lack of caulking. Now, skylights, a roof, for example, it's not the caulking that's going to stop the water. So they wanted us to execute the engineer's report, which we refused because it's not really what should be done.
Okay.
And sure enough, they hired someone, they did the caulking, and in the middle of the winter, they had a whole bunch of water that came in. So caulking is not really the answer.
Okay.
It's you know...
Like a Band-Aid solution,
it's
maybe?
It's a Band-Aid solution. It's something that you do just in case.
Okay.
But it's not, you know, things have to be built nicely prior to that.
Okay.
Michelle, are you out walking the dog?
I came in from walking the dog, but you were very good. Yes, I was.
Right. It's years of experience of listening in.
Do you have one more, or are you okay?
No, we're good. Thank you so much.
All right. Good luck, Michelle.
Thank you.
Bye now. All right. Let's go to next up is Heidi. Hi, Heidi.
Hi, good morning. I thought it was my telephone that was weird. No, it was the dog.
Yeah, that's right.
I have a question. My hot water heater is going to be 12 years old, and according to the insurance, I need a new one, or if there's a damage, I have so many deductions. I went to a big store, and they only have, it seems, one firm, whatever.
Brand.
Supposed to be a giant somebody.
Okay.
I have a question. Another friend, she has a five-year-old, and it just broke 2 days ago. She heats with gas and electricity. I'm strictly electricity. And is there a difference when I go to Reno Depot, okay, they say, well, they don't ask me if it's gas or electric heating. I'm strictly electric, and I only need the smaller one. And there are like three or four models. And when I ask, is it the one element in it or two? Because many years ago, one element had to be replaced. Okay, no problem. And she couldn't answer it. So is there a difference if I heat with electric, gas, one element, two element? Do I buy the most expensive one to be sure? Does it rust after 5 years?
These are all good questions. The good news for you is that I don't believe that the big box store sell any gas water heaters, not as far as I know.
Oh, that's so why they never mentioned it. Okay.
That's probably why. So it's more specialty. Now, your friend that had a gas or an oil water heater broke down is a bit of bad news because they are not cheap to replace. They're actually more expensive than electric. So she have to look. The most important is that you do have manufacturer's guarantee. So in her case, 5 years is short. There's a very good chance that it's still under warranty. And if she calls the manufacturer or she bought it from, they'll probably replace it for her for free.
Okay. So what am I, to be a bit selfish, what do I look for now that, quote, from May 1st, I should change? I mean, it's not drastic. Nothing happened yet. But what do I look for? One element, two elements?
You're talking about
giant several models, and the lady couldn't really answer. Whether I pay $500 and something or $600 or $700, that's not much different, except I would like to have it last a bit longer.
Heidi, we're going to hang on and let Walter answer your question there, but don't go anywhere because we're just going to stop for traffic. I'll put her Heidi on hold. We're coming right back. 514-790-0800 to call here and get your questions answered on the Home Improvement Show.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
We are back at 921. Ken Connors, Walter Assey from Inovco, and your phone number to call for this free advice is 514-790-0800. We're just going to wrap up with Heidi out in Dollard. Heidi, you're still there?
Yes.
Oh, thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Walter.
Yeah, hi. Heidi, so definitely the dual element is the more efficient of the two.
Okay.
The reason being it heats the water much quicker than the single element.
Right.
You know, the water moved from one end of the tank to the other, whereas the single one goes from bottom to top.
Right.
So you will have much more efficient with the dual element.
Yeah.
No question about it. Obviously, the other question you have to ask yourself is the size, because you have different sizes.
That's okay. I need only the smaller size.
Yeah, the smaller size, get a dual element for sure. There's
okay,
no question
smaller
about
size, but absolutely dual element.
That's
okay,
right.
That's it.
Now,
once
different
we
manufacturers
had the dual element replacement, it was quite easy, actually. That's the other question. Do I go with, quote, Reno Depot that installs it, or Edler Dick or Pure that install it, or they put their own water heater in? Is it everybody just Giant? I've never seen another company.
No, they have. There's Cascade. There's multiple other companies. Now, there's not just Giant. Giant is a big one. I mean, they are a giant, but... one of the things you could do in your research between the different hot water heater systems is the amount of guarantee, years of guarantee they give. Some
okay,
of them give
true.
12, 15, 20 years even.
I
obviously,
know, so why does an insurance company says, I was lucky with 12 years. The other companies usually are just 10 years.
10 years, that's correct. Now,
and 12 years with Bel Air, I am, so that was lucky.
Yes.
Yes, the water heater lasts longer. And on the other hand...
Yeah, so usually they take an average of the age of a water heater, and they don't want it to come all the way to the guarantee life. They want it to expire before, just in case. Now, having said that, sometimes you can challenge that if you have a high-end water heater system that is guaranteed for 20 years. You send it to your broker or to your insurance agent, and they will look at it, and they might waive that condition.
Okay, good idea. Another thing is, are the casings thinner metal nowadays, or is it still the same thicker metal? Does it rust quicker? And I have never emptied it. People say, once a year you should empty the water and blah, blah, blah. I didn't do that, but I've had no problem over many, 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 many years. So should one do that? Is the casing thinner?
I have not personally done that in my life either, and I have
good.
A hot water tank, so it's not really...
Okay.
I've never heard of that before, but, you know, it's it should be maintenance-free. I don't, you know, I've... The newer ones are actually more efficient and better, and that's why you have some companies giving 15, 20 years guarantee on them.
Okay,
as well.
I now two element with a smaller guy, definitely, and look for the guarantee.
There you go.
Thank
there
you
go.
Very much, and I hope you have a good weekend.
Thank you, Heidi.
And
thank
your family, too.
Perfect.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
I'll go you one better. I don't even know where my hot water tank is.
Oh, my God, that's great.
No, I know where it is, but no, I've never emptied it either.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's you know, if you're going to start playing plumber for every gadget that you have in your house, then you're in for a treat.
All right, 925, that frees up a line, 514-790-0800 to talk to Walter. Any issue you might have at home, we'll try to do our best here for you. Jim, is that you?
Yes, hi.
Hi, out in Côte Saint-Luc, I think, right?
Yes.
Good. Did you feel that win last night, Jim?
Very, very much.
Yeah, no kidding. What's your question
that
for Walter?
That actually exaggerated the problem I'm having a bit.
Oh, really? What is it?
Well, I have a bioenergy system, which is not actually relevant, but I have the oil furnace with the chimney going up, the stack going up. It projects about, I think, 6 feet above the roof. Mm-hmm. And because it is semi-detached, the chimney is shared with my neighbor. My neighbor has blanked his off, I think, because he's all electric. I might do the same. The problem I have is, during heavy showers, the water seems to be infiltrating into the chimney and coming down and into my room where I have the furnace and the electric heater through the fire door or whatever, and that's rusted, and you know it's sort of detaching the concrete. It's in bad shape. I had got the thing tuck pointed about 5-6 years ago, and it stopped. So my question is, because it's an expensive thing, you know, to take down the whole, all the bricks and redo them. I've seen a couple of houses where they have wrapped the whole external surface of the chimney with aluminium, the brown aluminium. Doesn't look bad, but is there any negative effect for this?
There's not. It's one quick way to make it happen. Just make sure that your brick is solid enough that it's not crumbling, because if the brick underneath crumbles, don't forget, we're putting the fairing strips right on the brick. So if that's crumbling, that means your siding is going to come out as well.
Yes.
So just make sure that this is in good shape. If you need to reinforce it, then by all means do so. The only thing that you might face as a situation in certain cases would be the city bylaws. Sometimes certain cities do not allow certain finishings if you don't have, for example, siding in the rest of the house or the facade.
I understand. Yes, yeah. Yes. I ran into that problem before I had to put bricks for a small extension I did. But this other house has done it. Mm-hmm. And my neighbor, I think, doesn't care, you know, so I will ask him. And because both have to be wrapped together, I think you understand, because they're,
yes,
you know.
I understand very well. Yeah. So, I mean, you could it's definitely the cheaper way than taking out all the bricks and redoing it from scratch. The other thing that you might look at is just, you know, get someone to look at the bricks. Why did you do it 5 years ago and now it's leaking again? Because maybe they've just forgot a joint. Typically, what we like to do when we are pointing bricks, by the way, is we'd like to grind. We have to pass the grinder not only on the visual joints that are defective, but you try to pass it on most of the joints, just because sometimes it's starting to decay and you just or deteriorate and you don't see it.
Yeah.
So maybe the guy left few joints behind and your problem is not as big as you think. It's probably going to even cost you cheaper than wrapping it with siding.
Yes. It doesn't leak for a sort of light rain, but you did use a grinder, and also we put a cap and all that on top. So it's not, you know, with a mesh. So I don't think the rain is really coming from beating out from outside there. The other thing, of course, is I have no idea what the liners look like.
Okay.
The liners are in good shape. What do the liners use? My house is a 1960.
Yeah, but that is not typically why it would leak, though. I mean, the liner.
No, I understand.
Yeah, you want to worry about the liner for, you know, for the exhaust and everything else. But usually, I mean, they it depends, brick, terracotta, you know, stainless. You don't know what's in there. I mean, you could actually see what's coming out. You if you look at the top of the chimney.
Yeah.
Whatever is coming up is typically what the liner is made out of. But that's not really where, you know, you would want to look for water damage. You want to look around the flashing. You want to look at the chimney cap, and you want to look at the actual bricks. Mm.
Jim, we have to run because we're up against the news. Was that some help for you, though?
Yes, thank you. I just want to say I might be scrapping the boiler, but that won't change my because of the new law, you know, 2026.
Yes.
To run only on electricity, but that wouldn't change my infiltration problem, unfortunately.
No, you would still have to cap it, and you have to cap it right. That's for sure. So there's still something to do. Just do a visual inspection. I mean, if you don't want to go up there, just get a drone up there and, you know, try to fly around it and see what you see.
I'll do that because my wife won't let me go up there anyway. So.
No. Listen to her.
Yeah, she's probably right.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye.
It's a home improvement show at 514-790-0800.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Yes, you are at 9:36, a second half. It's Ken Connors along with Walter Assey from Renovco. If you have an issue at home, you need a question answered, you need a little advice, a little guidance on some project at home, something giving you some issues, let us know at 514-790-0800, just like Maureen did. Hi, Maureen.
Yes, good morning. Sorry, my mouth is full.
That's fine.
I have two questions. My chimney is breaking up a lot. The bricks are falling down in pieces. I don't want to get anybody hurt. I need to get the whole chimney redone. If you can help me, recommend someone to help, you know, to do it. and also a shade over my door. In the winter, the snow just sit there. When you open the door, it all come in. So I need something that goes over the door that would block the snow from coming into the house.
Okay, so these are two different questions?
Yes.
Okay. So for as far as the brick in the chimney is concerned, what you want to do is you want to try to find a local mason in your area.
Okay.
It's usually better because they don't like to venture so much out of their comfort zone. Their season is short, and you know, as far as logistics is concerned, they like it when, you know, so if you live in the South Shore and you could see some, you know, someone, a mason there, or your neighbor's doing some masonry work, that's usually the best way, and that's usually how you get the best prices. Masons are very busy these days. That's a big problem. So if you are convenient to them and you're right next door, they might actually prioritize you because they don't have to move all their scaffolding and everything around for a long distance. So that's what I would advise you as far as finding companies for that type of work. It is not a great, easy job because they are up there on the roof. It's, you know, it's not a comfortable place to be. And sometimes if the chimneys are too high, they have to, you know, maneuver, build some type of scaffolding or so on and so forth. So it's not really their best, it's not their preferred type of work on a home. But again, you know, if you can find someone that is close by geographically, that would be great.
Okay.
As far as your door is concerned, it depends. There's many things we could do. If you want to have something that is low budget and fast, you can always go with a fiberglass or some type of, you know, the corrugated plexiglass.
Mm-hmm.
That will go over the door. You just build up a frame for it, and that should do the trick. Depends, I mean, from a look perspective, if you like that type of look or not. If not, then, I mean, obviously there's many things we could do. We could actually build up a roofing system on top of it and just, you know, have some type of a shelter down below. So that's also possible. You could have also metal elements, ferforgé metal with glass that will look nice. So there's many, many different things depending on the budget and depending on the kind of look that you want to have. In a modern home, typically you want to opt for a metal / glass type of a finish to kind of, it fits nicely with the home. Something
it
a bit
would
more classic.
Plexiglass on the sides or regular glass?
Well, again, depends on your finish. I mean, if you're going to do a whole vestibule-like thing, then you are into the extension territory.
Mm-hmm.
Then, obviously, that's another story. It's one thing to build a roof on top of a door. It's another thing to build the walls around it, right? So, you know, it has to be thought about. And then the budget is a constraint. So sometimes just the roof will suffice and, you know, it will do the job.
Mm-hmm.
And if you find that you are really in a big air current situation that you want to have walls and like a vestibule-like structure, then we have to be thought about differently. Now we have to talk about Technopew type of a foundation or sonotube, and then we have to build up the walls. And sometimes we even want to go with full foundation, depending on the look of the house and what have you. So that's not just a fast decision because it will change the curb appeal of your home. It will change the architecture of your home, and it have to be really thought about very, very, very
hard. I don't know much about it. I was thinking like a little roof on top.
Mm-hmm.
Across from me, my house is a bungalow, and across from me, they made something, and it's like a little roof on top, and it's open on both sides. I was thinking of like a plexiglass on both sides. I don't know what you think, and if I should put the plexiglass in the front too, or just on both sides, because the snow always seems to be coming to the door. Right to left all the time.
So I think that will work, but it will look ugly. So that's if you want me to give you a blunt answer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure if the city will allow it to be a permanent structure. So we, you know, again, that's another thing that you don't want to be spending money on. The roof itself on top will help a lot in cases of rain and straight snow. Anything that is blowing with the wind mm-hmm. is a bit more challenging. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're going to do the walls, I would think about something a bit more permanent so you don't spend your money and then be asked by your neighbors or the city to take it all out because you don't have a permit for it. Mm-hmm. And I can, so I, just to save you some time.
What if it was ugly? Was it the plexiglass on both sides?
Yeah, so any structure that looks temporary for cities don't like. And I can guarantee you, if you go to the city and ask them for a permit for a plexiglass type of finish at your home entrance, they will uh-huh. not give you the permit for it.
They will not.
No,
okay.
They will not. So don't waste your time.
I appreciate your help. Thank you.
Actually, Walter, you were going to throw in something about saving your time?
What I'm saying is let her save her time and not, you know, go to the city. Just explore another option because, you know, you're going to, again, waste your time and money. And typically the way the city knows, believe it or not, is through a neighbor complaining. So when you do something that is not very appealing to the eye, the, you know, your next door neighbor tend to want to make that phone call first, right?
All right. Maureen, thank you for the call. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have a good day.
You too.
Happy Easter.
You
Bye-bye.
Too as well. Yes, if you're celebrating Easter or Passover, Ramadan, I hope you're enjoying your weekend and getting it together with family, if that's the plan. 943-514-790-0800. I just wanted to touch on something that you mentioned in the first half hour. I think it was our first caller, Michelle, out in Brossard with roofing issues. And you reminded her, like, to send the worker the email, like, document things. It's
that's
so
right.
important to document and leave a paper trail for your behalf, right?
That's correct. I mean, one of the things that I've learned early on in construction, because we work a lot with insurance companies, and they're very big in, on you know, anything in writing and documenting and so on and so forth. And I remember in our first training years, when we were taking our training, they would always say, if it's not documented, it did not happen.
Mm.
So basically, you could say all what you want, that this is what you said or this is what you did. If you don't have a proof, photographic proof, a email, a letter, that's very important, and especially in the world of construction, because, you know, things get forgotten and left behind and ignored sometimes and neglected and so on and so forth.
And documenting is just not emails or letters. It's also, like you mentioned, taking photos.
Yeah. Photos, pictures. I have a client that called me the other day and he said, like, I have major excavation next door. They're drilling, they're jackhammering. What do I do? I said, the first thing you want to do is you want to go and take a video of all your foundation, your bricks, your everything in the house, inside the walls. And you're going to speak and you're going to say that the date that you took that video, and you're going to take a whole bunch of photographs, and you're going to document that on that day before the work started, there was, you know, no foundation cracks, no cracks in the bricks, and so on and so forth. And that's what exactly he did. And sure enough, a couple of days later, cracks start appearing in his home.
Great advice. There's still time to talk to Walter and have your question answered. Call now at 514-790-0800.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
On a personal note, I was in the Renovco showroom a few days ago with my wife looking at the windows. We bought a couple, I guess, in 2018 or 2019, pre-pandemic, and love them. And now we're going to replace two more, slowly but surely.
I see that your wife drags you into. I actually saw her on the camera. She was actually dragging you in.
No, exaggerated. No. The house is 28 years old, and the original windows had the crankshaft, and the cranks eventually give out, and so newer is better, as always. Eric in St. Lazare wants to talk to us. Hi, Erica.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am calling about a radon test that I had done. I sent away for a test, and I got the results back. I have a basement, and they're very particular as to where you want to put the device for the duration of the test. So I had put it on my main floor because that's where I spend. I think it said you need to spend at least 4 hours a day in that room. So that's where I put it. Mm-hmm. The test results came back, and it was not bad. The result where you're supposed to action is 200, I'm not sure what the units are, BQs per meter cubed. So anything above 200, you'd need to do something. My value was 118.
Mm-hmm.
So my question for Walter would be, I'm curious because I think that the value in my basement would probably be more. I have a treadmill down there, so I do go in the basement, and my laundry room is down there. So my concern is if the result on my main floor was that high, I mean, it's not high, but it's, you know, high enough, would it be valuable for me to do another test this coming winter in the basement? Should I be worried?
It's not a question of being worried. It's a question of, like you said, where you spend the time.
Yeah.
If basements are not just, you know, I mean, if you, especially if you exercise or if you have a bedroom down there or you have a guest room or so on and so forth, I would always recommend that the tests are done in the basement first. I don't particularly like to do them in the rooms that I just sit in. That's the origin of it. So it's in the basement. And that's you know, if you have very high readings, I think you need to know about it. So if there's, you know, a few times that you need to sleep over in the basement because you're renovating the house upstairs or you have guests over or what have you, at least you know.
I don't have any bedrooms down there, but there is a shower and whatever, but it is a finished basement, so there's a potential to spend time there. So I was thinking the same thing, that just to be safe,
yes,
to get the reading in the basement as well.
And then just for everybody else, always start with the basement first. And then you could check the other rooms for security reasons and peace of mind after, but the basement is where it all starts.
Okay, I'm going to do that. Thank you so much for your advice.
My pleasure.
Good luck
with that. Happy Easter. Bye-bye.
You too. As well. 514-790-0800. Hardwood flooring. There's a text here about hardwood flooring. They're thinking of doing at least, I think it says here, the master bedroom, replacing carpet with the hardwood flooring. Any recommendations?
Open-ended question like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there are many things to look for. If they're only doing the master and the rest of the second floor is carpet, just think about the continuity of it in the future should you decide to go to other rooms. So that's number one. Number two, think about what you have downstairs. Number three, look at what's trending right now, 5, 6, 7-inch planks. So the narrower 2.25 is kind of being phased out. There's also something that you might look at, which is engineered floors. If you have pets, if you have animals, rather than hardwood, because it's way more resistant. So there's many things. I mean, the other thing that I would encourage the texter is try to find local factories, meaning brands that are made in Quebec or in Canada, because of the supply chain issues. So Goodfellow is great, Mercier is great, because they're local, they get produced here, so you have much better chance to finding number one stock. And number two, if there's any deliveries to be done or any, they usually tend to respect more those delays just because there's no containers and boats and ships and trucks and automobiles and everything else that's happening in the world today. So, and you know, we have great products in Quebec. Like Goodfellow makes amazing floors, Mercier makes amazing floors. So, you know, we are the country of wood, so let's use it.
Is there always a debate when it comes to, when you're mentioning trends, to go with something in terms of the color and the look of the hardwood, what's trending now, or do you look long-term? That's something that's going to be classic and never go out of style, really.
Correct. I mean, there are things that you should not venture into that are, you know, I remember in the 70s, the avocado.
all kitchens were.
yeah.
It's
true. So, I mean, when it's too out there, I would not venture into it. But there are things that make sense. I mean, the white planks, hardwoods, it's just you have less seams, right? So it gives you that cleaner look. So there is, or the bigger tiles in the kitchens and the bathrooms, you have less grout. So it makes sense. You know, it makes sense for maintenance, it makes sense for the look, and so on and so forth. So I mean, you have to use your common sense, really, when it comes to these things. And fortunately or unfortunately, it depends how you look at it.
I didn't want to make fun of that avocado color, because we know everything eventually comes back.
Oh,
right?
My God, yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. You know, I know eggplant is back now, so it's just a question of time.
I'm going to sneak a quick one in, Walter. We have about a minute and a half. This is from Graham on the text line. If a small section of a garage floor has lifted because of pyrite, does the whole floor have to be excavated or just that section?
Okay. It's a great question. If you want to save some money, try to do a pyrite test first. Because through the pyrite test, you're going to get the readings, you're going to get the percentages, you're going to get how active the pyrite still is. And if it's not, or it's at the end of its life and the activity, then you can just repair that section and you should be good.
He says it's 4x4.
Well, the area?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. If the test comes out, because what happens is if it lives in one area and still active, and you repair that one area and then another area lifts, then you're going to end up spending a lot more money fixing it than anything else. Mm. The idea with a pyrite, when you take it out, you want to take out the gravel, because that's really where the problem is. It's in the gravel. So you want to make sure to excavate all the gravel out and put some new healthy gravel in, and so on and so forth. So having said that, make the test, just see how active it is, and through that make your decision on how much you should take it out completely or just this part. And when you do take out this part, make sure to take out the gravel completely.
Yeah, that's the key there?
That's the key.
All right. Walter Assey from Renovco. Walter, thanks for another great hour.
It's my pleasure. Looking forward to see you next week.
Yeah, next Saturday morning on the Home Improvement Show here on CJAD 800 from 9 to 10 o'clock. Our Saturday mornings aren't done. Lisa's in the building and ready to go with the car show and your calls and her questions, your questions, her calls and answers. And then Kelly Albert at 11 o'clock, taking us to lunch with Montreal Eats from 11 to noon. Ben, thank you so much. And Master Control, have a great Saturday, long weekend. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow morning as of 6 o'clock.